morning.
This is the day that the Lord has made. I'd like to welcome each and all of you to today's worship service and pray God's blessing upon us as we worship in truth and in the Spirit. It's always good to come together at least once in the week, especially at the beginning of the week, to begin the week with the Lord. So it's a joy having you here this morning. For our announcements this morning, please take note, they are on the screens as usual, as well as inserts in your bulletins. And I'm just going to take a few minutes here to just go over maybe a few of those announcements in terms of a reminder and maybe a little bit emphasis on why we are announcing what we announced. Let me start with the upcoming discernment vision long name. United Methodists are very good at that, making discernment vision implementation team and staff meeting. How is that? We took quite a lot of time last year to go through a period of discernment, hoping to come up with a simplified model of ministry for our congregation. And it all came out of our desire to see our congregation move forward in terms of growth in three areas: in numbers, that's membership, finance, and spiritual. We did that, and then we came up with a mission statement that is very simple. If you were to wake me up when I'm sleeping, you ask me what's the mission statement of your church, I would tell you is to gather, to equip, and to serve. Wonderful. But those will not make any difference in the life of our church until they are put into practice. That's why we want to make sure we don't take up all of our time coming up with these wonderful visions and mission, and then they don't help us. They will only become useful if we can intentionally make some efforts at putting them into use. So we are calling this meeting of our staff, all paid staff, as well as volunteers who would like to be a part of this one big meeting that we are looking for the day. The people are kind of busy nowadays that it's difficult to pin people down and say, oh, we come here on the 17th or on the 19th. So we gave two options, of course, with a deadline to choose from. Of course, the date that carried the majority would be the one that we will all have to subscribe to. And so on the 17th, which is Monday at 6 p.m. or Wednesday at 6 p.m., I was just called to attention by our organist and choir director. She said, do you know that Wednesday, 6 o'clock, is our choir? So we'll see. We'll see. But let's make some effort to see if we can come together to discern, begin to discern, to plan, get ideas. We're not limiting this process to just the people that I name in here or the groups that I name in here. We are open. We have boxes. We have two boxes, suggestion boxes out there. If you have wonderful ideas that the Lord had revealed to you and you know that it's going to help us, please, please feel free to write it out and just put it in any of those boxes. We have two of those. one on the table at the fellowship table and another one at the entrance here. Please make sure to help us figure out how best we can move this congregation forward. Ministry is teamwork. The pastor doesn't have all the answers. None of us has all the answers. We want ministry to be everyone's business. And that's what we are called to do. So please take note of that. The deadline to let us know which day works for you is the 11th Tuesday, so that we will know how many people will be here for that meeting and what's the date that was chosen. Another thing we want to talk about is we undertook a t-shirt outreach project. T-shirts are completed. We want to say thanks to Jean for completing the t-shirts, the number of t-shirts. We have 150 of those t-shirts that we intended to be, and we still intended to be, and to be given out to people, but we have to be sponsored. It's $10 a piece. If you are able, thanks to those of you who have already started purchasing those t-shirts, if you are able to help, we will really appreciate you at least purchasing one or more that we can give them out to people. Please take note of the different dates of events that are coming up in the life of our church and conference. We have annual conference. You may think it's far away, but it's just around the corner. We have grandparents camp. We have Christian Disciple Farm camp coming up. All of those are things that we need to plan for ahead of time, so that those who are responsible will have the time to plan better for the good of everyone. Finally, let me lift up here that it's always good for me to have the assurance that Jesus loves me, and so that I want to pass that assurance to others. How about we do that with each other this morning? Just say to the person next to you, Jesus loves you, so do I. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, it's good to know that Jesus loves us. With that, let us prepare our hearts and minds for service this morning. We begin with the call to worship, and if you are able and feel comfortable, please rise for the call to worship. So we should walk as light. God said, "Let there be light." Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness." Jesus also said, "You are the light and salt of the world. Let your light shine in the dark, and your saltiness give flavor to the tasteless world." Amen. Please remain standing for the hymn, "Shine, Jesus, Shine."
Shine on me, shine.
Thank you. Please join me in the opening prayer. Creator of the universe and all therein, we thank you for the gift of two great lights that shine by day and by night. Most importantly, gracious God, we thank you for the light shine in Jesus. The light of Jesus reveals unto us your holiness and righteousness. Through his marvelous light, our wrongs are exposed, yet we rejoice that the light has clutched the darkness that kept us from recognizing our true selves. As you have commissioned us to be light and salt, grant that we may continue to seek, walk, and dwell in your unquenchable light so that our lives and deeds might bear witness to love and grace available to all in Jesus, the Savior and Redeemer of us, humanity. Amen. We have children here this morning. Yes, we do. phone next to the computer. It's okay. So we still don't have volume or sound, so we can help you push it in the direction. So I'm going to tell you what this is about. You know what's going to be about Jesus teaching you Bible. The disciples are up. So let's talk a little bit about Bible. Here's what he says. Since you know who the disciples are, or we talk a little bit about the disciples, you know some of them by name? Okay.
John.
Okay. John. That was one of the disciples.
Mark.
Mark. Okay. Who else? Yeah.
David.
David. Maybe it's Matthew.
Luke.
Luke. Okay. All right. Sorry. Joseph? Yeah, Joseph was, but he was not one of the disciples. But there were 12 disciples, right? So Jesus is teaching them about something important. None of us know what salt is. S-A-L-T. Salt. Do you know what salt is? You know what salt is? Okay. What do we do with salt? Yeah?
We, when we're cooking food, we put it in there. Put salt in.
All right. So why do we do that? Why do we need salt in our food? Sorry?
For flavor.
For flavor, right. Yes. What if we didn't add salt to our food? Not really, right? So we need salt so that we have some flavor. Now that's another thing. How about light? Okay? Do we know what light is?
Yeah, we use light to see.
Yes. Light helps us see probably around ourselves. Especially, how many of you like to walk in darkness without light? Do you really feel comfortable when you walk in darkness? Our light. Sometimes. Wow. But how far can you go with that? Not too far, right?
Yeah.
How about, let's say we were here at night and there was no light. What do you think will happen?
You're cold.
Yeah?
You can't see each other?
You will see each other. And the worst of all would be what? Okay.
Trip and fall.
You trip and fall. Want to say something else? That's exactly what you wanted to say. That's good. Okay. All right.
You can trip and fall and hurt your head.
Oh, there you go. That would really be bad. So that's exactly what Jesus is saying when it comes to us following him in our life as Christians. Jesus says Christians are salt and light of the world. What that means one becomes a Christian, you have a different behavior, you have a different attitude. You don't behave as someone who does not know Jesus. Since we know Jesus, maybe let's do we actually know who Jesus is?
Yes.
Okay, who is he? Yeah.
God's Son.
God's Son. See? So Jesus is God's Son. And because he's God's Son, want us, those of us who follow him that I call by his name, that I call Christians, that means the follower of Jesus. He want us to live our life just as he, Jesus, lived his life. His life was light and salt to the world.
ego. I'm not going to get somebody to assault this or get mad. You know, people will praise you and say, oh, yes, she's a very nice girl. Oh, yeah, she goes to Sunday school, and so she learned all of that from Sunday school. Oh, she's a Christian. And so it behaves well. That's what this video was meant to be about. Sorry that we didn't get it to play. So, but that's what it was about. That we Jesus is, you, especially you guys now, who are the young disciples of Jesus. So it was not just Matthew, John, Matthew, and all of these people. It's also you. Okay? Let us pray. Jesus God, we want to thank you for your message this morning to these children. We do the best we can to explain to them your love and care for the word, for each of them in the special. We ask that your Holy Spirit will continue to work on their hearts and minds so that as they grow up to become men and women in our society, we truly represent who you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Morning. Today's scripture comes from Isaiah 58, 1 through 9. Shout it aloud, do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their rebellion and to the descendants of Jacob their sins. For day after day they seek me out. They seem eager to know my ways. If they were a nation that does what is right and has not forsaken the commands of its God, they ask me for just decisions and seem eager for God to come near them. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you have not noticed? Yet on the day of your fasting, you do as you please and exploit all your workers. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife and in striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. Is this the kind of fast I have chosen, only a day for people to humble themselves? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and for lying in sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this kind of fasting I have chosen, to loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood? Then your light will break forth like the dawn and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, here am I. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
gospel reading this morning comes from Matthew 5, 13 through 20th verses. And reading from the NIV, we are on the same page. There's a different version on the screen. That's fine too. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on the hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp. Put it under the wall. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine for others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. But truly, I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Therefore, anyone who sets aside least of these commands and teachings, others accordingly will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever practices, teaches, command will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. But I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. This is the word of God for the people of God. The words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. If you are able and feel comfortable, will you rise for the reaffirmation of our faith through the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. Thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the dead, and the life everlasting. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This morning, I'd like to invite you to into a meditation that is based on the two scripture texts that we read this morning, one from the Old and one from the New. You are the salt and light. You are the salt. Those are the words of Jesus. And how about we talk about that a little bit? When you hear Jesus say that, what comes to your mind? me. I want to share with us what comes to your mind. This is one of the, I would say, the most cited scriptures that I know of. You are the light, you are the salt. I always talk about. Yes. Very important. Yes. True. Yes. Yes. Others. Examples of others. Right. Thank you. Pour on the soul, turn on the light. So, I'd like to go back a little bit to remind us of last week, Black Sunday, when we listened to the prophet Micah. And Micah was telling us about the message that God had given him for the people of Israel. When you hear the same complaint, what it is that we need to bring to God so that God will be appeased to do for us what we want, because we have done something for God and God needs to reciprocate. We bring all our money, we bring all of these things, and God is not just listening to us. So what do? Do we continue to serve the same God, the same way that we need? Well, we're hearing the same complaint here from Isaiah. It would seem to me like in the first century, it was like, it's all about complaints about God. God is not doing this, God is not doing that. But Micah gives us three basic characteristics of life that appeases God. Three basic characteristics of life. Probably that when God in God's own abundance of blessings that we will be able to get. You still remember those? I think I do, since I was the one who shared it that day. But the first thing that God told Micah was tell these people that they need to just live a just life. Just live a life of justice. When you live a life of justice, because God is just. And the second thing was that not only that you live a life of justice, but you have to also live a life of humility. Humble yourself before the Lord, and the Lord will lift you up. Not only that you live justly and then humble yourself, but you also need to do what? Yes. Oh. It says you should walk, let me say you walk humbly with God. That was it. And the last one was what? Sorry? Love your neighbors as yourself. That's right. So that, you know, you have justice, you have humility, and you have to be kind. Love, mercy, three things. How hard are those things? How difficult? You know, just to at least show someone that, like Jesus quoted to his disciples, he said, there's too many laws, there's too many rules. But I'm just going to summarize those rules and laws into just, at least just two, possibly two. If one derives from another one, so we can say three. Love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Love your neighbor as yourself. And then it's kind of,
You know, we complicate things for ourselves, but God is so simple. It's just so simple to serve God because He knows our capacity. He knows our ability. That maybe we can't take complicated things. We can deal with a lot of complications. So He tried to simplify. Once the things are simple, they are easy to do. They are easy to remember. So He says, if these three are too much, do unto others as you have them do unto you. It's just the standard. If you want to be loved, then show love to someone. If you want to receive kindness, then be kind to someone. If you want to be respected, then you need to respect other people. Simple. Just the simple rule of life. Today, we are hearing the same complaint, almost similar complaint for the people of Israel. This is the post-exilic people of Israel. God has delivered them and brought them into the land of milk and honey, and everything is going fine. Everything is doing, I mean, it's just going well. Everybody is just doing good. But the thing to say everybody is doing good before is maybe is an overstatement. God intended it to be so, but was that the case? But no. We have the tendency, human beings have the tendency to live in the world of me and I. Me and I. And because of the me and I, God's intention for the world seems to be of no value to so many people. It's not reaching other people. It's not reaching other people. There are times when there are people who would think that God has even forgotten them, that God is not even hearing their prayers, that they don't even belong to this world. But that's not true. God loves each of us just as He loves each one of us. But He loves all of us just as He loves each one of us. We all stand before God. There will be no pastor. There will be no bishop. There will be no president. There will be no king. God is going to be the only king. But as long as we live in this world, the me and I mentality gets people some to be left behind. So in order to climb the ladder, you have to step on other people in order to climb the ladder. And once you are at the top of the ladder, those that are me, sometimes we tend to forget. And that's exactly what was going on in the life of the people in the first century. So it's not strange in today's world. This is something that has been in place at the same time. At the same time, living in a situation like that where other people will have to step on those down there in order to grow up, those who are up are saying, God, why is it that we are having so much trouble? Why is it that there's so much trouble in our land? Why we are praying, we are fasting, we are doing all of the things that are written in scripture, and you seem not to be hearing us. Why? Complaining. Complaining. Complaints and complaints. God is saying to them, your fasts are useless. Your piety, your holiness, so-called holiness, are useless. I don't delight in those kinds of fasting. And so the scripture contrasts the kind of fasting. Fast is good. To fast is just a wonderful thing. Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Wonderful. And so those who want to fast, or those who have the tendency to fast, is wonderful, it's scriptural. trying once in a while. I haven't fasted all my life for 40 days, let alone 40 nights. I haven't done that. But I try. But I've seen people who do that, which is wonderful. Because when we fast, we are saying that I'm giving up something because of this. I'm trying to imitate Christ so that my body is set aside for Christ. So that my body, my soul is lifted to God. That indeed when I pray, when I sacrifice those things that I love, food that I love, I'm not going to be eating it at the time that I'm always eating it. God is going to know that indeed I am sorry. God will answer my prayer. But these people pray and they're fasting, God is condemning. He said, I'm not interested. If you were to go to the book of Amos, he would tell you point blank. He said, I denounce your fasting. I denounce your sacrifices. Anything you do, they are nothing to me. Why? Because of the lack of the three things that Micah talked about. Jesus came into the world to fulfill the scripture. He lived the same kind of life that God is talking about. Gave everything. The first thing he did was he emptied himself of his divinity. He took on the flesh of human beings. Gave up his sukkah. We're just talking about that in our Sunday school this morning. Wonderful. I want to invite you to go to that Sunday school. It's a wonderful book written by Mike Lucado. It's called Jesus, the God Who Knows Your Name. Jesus gave up his supernatural power. Supernatural, I'm not talking about power that somebody gave you. No. It's power that is generated by the power of God. God gave it to me. He gave it to the world. But he emptied himself of that power and became one of us. So that at his baptism, right upon his baptism and after his baptism, after his temptation in the wilderness, he's teaching about blessings. The abundance of blessings we talk about in life now. He's also teaching these very people and telling them. Now, I want us to understand here. The question I asked earlier, I was expecting you to have said how you read it. Is Jesus saying here you're supposed to be? Is that what you hear? Is he saying you're supposed to be? I'm going to read that again. He's not making a conditional statement. He's saying you are. It's definitive, it's declarative. Definitely stated, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. So he's not saying you could be. He's not saying that. He's not saying you should be. No, he's not even saying that either. He's saying what? You are. Definitely. He's making a statement here. He's saying you are. So how can he look at you and me and look at like he did with his first disciples, that they are, who listen to him for the first time, and look at them and say, you are the salt of the earth, and you are the light of the world. But the reason is simple. If you were to go to Genesis creation stories, the first thing, maybe Genesis 1:27, it used to be one of my favorite when I was a kid, in the image. God created human in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. He created he, them. I love that. In the image of God, he created man. In the image of God, he created he, them. So you found out that if indeed we were created in the image of God, we do have the capacity and the ability to live the life of God wherever we are. If God is light, then of course we have the capacity, we have the ability to be light. If God is salt, then of course our saltiness must be able to change the flavor of the world. A bitter world. Yes, probably some of us don't know, but the world that we live in sometimes is bitter for most people. They want to have a taste of a world that God, that they will experience God in the way that, you know, they've never before. But how can they be? Jesus came into the world, he demonstrated that. He fed the hungry. Those who were sick, he healed them. But they didn't need insurance. No. They were already insured. Like some nice voices you will hear at the hospital. Oh, you know, you have an appointment for when you come, please bring your insurance card. No, you don't need that. Jesus healed the sick. Jesus fed the hungry. Jesus gave sight to the blind. He made the dumb to speak. So the people he's talking to here, let's not forget, the people Jesus is talking to here, they were not the people who are up there. No, he's not talking to the bishops, he's not talking to the pastors, he's not talking to the evangelists, he's not talking to maybe the Pope. He's talking to the ordinary people. Ordinary people. Maybe some of the people that were the most despised in their society. Or like the tax collector who actually liked the tax collector. But he looked at the tax collector and tells him, you are the light of the world. When we face Jesus, something happens. And what happens to us, Paul tells us, is that once we proclaim, we believe in our hearts and confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, we become this new person. New person. He says, they all have passed away. Everything has become new. But that's why we are salt and light. If you were one of those who were in the dark, when you didn't know Christ, once you got to know Christ, you become an extension of the love, the care, passion of Christ. That's not what is happening. There's a need for revival. There's a need for renewal. There's a need for the second thought. Because you can't be a child of Christ, a follower of Jesus Christ, and your light is not shining. Jesus was the light, and still he is the light today, and he's called you and me to be an extension. Be the extension of the light and the salt that will shine, the light that will shine in the dark of this world, and the salt that will give flavor to this sour world. How are you doing? How is your light shining? Is your saltiness imparting, giving flavor? We are. It's not we should, but we are. We are reminded of who we are because of the person whom we claim to follow. We are the extension of the light. But you are. Whatever you might.
time for us to worship the Lord, our prayers, prayers in our hearts, prayer for our nation, prayer for each other, remembering those who have entrusted us, their prayers. I'd like to encourage us to continue to pray for our congregation. Our congregation has been really troubled by the death of so many members coming to the close of the year, today's new year. Let's pray for those who are still struggling with their health. Pray that God may bring us to joy. Power of the world. Whatever happens in America, other countries tend to copy it. Let's pray for the leaders of this country. But have a light. Let's pray that God will speak to the hearts and minds of people that will be light. Father, we learn together from you. I don't know what it might be talking about. In the fight, what happens is nothing gets done. And those of us who depend on them, we suffer. That's good for us to understand. Find out their differences and begin to move. Gracious and eternal God, thank you for this day. Thank you for every day. Lord, we lift our hearts and minds to you in total repentance of what hid, what feeling, to do those things that you call us to do and be the people you call us to be. Live in the world that is filled with so much hurt. So much hurt. We ask for your intervention. We pray that those of us that have come to know you as a caring, loving God, found the courage by the power of your Holy Spirit to be the extension of the love and fear and joy that we enjoy. We pray this morning for those of our members who have come to you having finished their prayer. We ask, Lord, that you hold us in your arms of mercy. Give us the comfort we need, the consolation, the peace. We pray for our leaders, not only in government, but also in our cycle of faith. Sense of unity, give them a sense of duty, that indeed they owe to their people, the people whom they represent. Help them to iron out their differences, be it political, theological, whatever differences they might have. That we pray for. Because you said in your word, the people that I call by your name, if they will humble themselves and pray, you will answer their prayer and heal their land. That's our prayer. Heal our congregation. Heal each of us. Help us to let our light shine. Help others to see our Lord. We thank you. Taught us whenever we pray, we can hear these words of prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us. More blessed to give than to always receive. offerings and tithes we bring represent our desire to reciprocate your kindness toward us, precious God. May you accept, bless, and use our material gifts and us to touch and transform lives in our community and the world. As we sing the hymn, this little light of mine, let our light shine. Fellowship of the Holy Spirit abides